I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I came.
What is up, Wisconsin? Hope y'all stayed cool out there. Entire Midwest bathed in 90 plus some three-digit temperatures out there. It's a scorcher and humid, so be careful. Try to stay cool. I hope that you and yours are in some air conditioning. That is exactly right, and that is Fantasy Brian Kelly. It's hot out there.
I had to drink a gallon of water just to get in today.
Basically, that is, I took the dog for a walk, and I was walking slowly, and I was sweating.
Yeah, my dog is like, no. And she loves to, she's a town crier. Anytime anything happens in the house or anywhere, she goes outside and tells everybody and barks. She went outside and went, bark. Yeah, I'm done.
I'm done. No,
hey,
thanks.
Hey, don't have to pee anymore. Just walked outside and don't have to pee anymore because I'm now dehydrated.
So throughout the show today, I'm going to have a special guest at 3 o'clock for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. You're not going to want to miss this. I loved reading about this guy. I loved reading about where he's at. He is the elite. He is the elite. He is the elite that we all talk about. And he believes that Americans and America suffers from what we call the excessive wealth disorder.
Oh?
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to want to miss that. That's at 3 p.m. today. It's going to be amazing. That is Scott Ellis. Not going to want to miss it. Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, installment number 2. But before we get to all of that fun, because it's so bloody hot, and like any good Midwesterner, right? Or I think Southerners also fall into this batch.
Sheening.
We will talk about the weather because this is what we do. We like to worry about if we're eating lunch, what are we eating for dinner? If we're eating dinner, it's what's happening tomorrow for the meals and what is going on in the weather. I want to know what your great hot weather coping skills or tactics or techniques are, because I've heard some great ones over my time, because everyone's had their AC blown. I grew up without AC. So I will share some of those stories. But I want to hear from you folks that are listening. What are your, oh, damn, it's hot outside, coping techniques, tips for others? Do you have a favorite childhood memory of what you did to try to stay cool when it was this blastedly hot outside? 855-757-4842. Brian, you and I, you know, we're big, tall people.
I'm already sweating thinking about it.
Yeah, that's me too. And it's, I come from a long line of sweaters. Not the not the woven kind, but the people who sweat variety.
My Uncle Bill died recently in the last couple of years, and that was the last time all the family was together.
Ah.
And all it was just us sweating in suits everywhere.
Funerals and weddings are the absolute worst. I was a reader in one of my dear friends' weddings, outdoor wedding in August. Started out very casual when she enticed me to be in her wedding party. You'll wear whatever dresses you like as long as it's this color. I was like, great. Spaghetti straps, loose fitting, and knee length. I'll survive. No. They ended up floor length, somewhat form fitting, and navy blue.
No.
Oh.
The roofers next door, they're doing roofing. Those poor guys are roofing today.
Today.
And they had a hoodie on. The guy had a hoodie on. I know you got to protect yourself from the sun. But he's got a hoodie on.
Well, this is the meta point behind the somewhat, hey, tell me how you deal with the heat. Do you have a childhood or, frankly, adult, oh, my God, I can't believe I had to do that outside memory. All of this partially context for there are lots of people that work every day in this kind of heat. And it is getting hotter, ladies and gentlemen. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So this is a problem. I don't know that I could go out and rip, say, 9 hours outside right now in the condition that I'm in. I mean, I'd make it,
yeah, I'd
but
make it
I would
too.
I would be very, very unwell at the end of the day.
I know if I knew what I was going up to, I couldn't have it sprung on me. You know?
Yes. Surprise, we're doing the show outside today, Brian. That would be a no-go.
I'd have to make it work, but I'd go, it's only 2 hours, so good for me. I live. Yeah. I'm talking about a nine-hour shift.
A nine-hour shift.
I did this. I mean, again, this is nothing compared to putting roofing tiles on.
Things together.
Jeez.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This was top of mind for me today because I have two dear friends that are Milwaukee Public School teachers, and this isn't just about Milwaukee Public Schools, but most/many, especially public schools, especially in larger districts.
In Wisconsin.
In places like Wisconsin, have no damn air conditioning.
Wrong.
I'd say cancel school,
but a lot of that is like childcare too, so yeah.
Yeah, I was always a hot kid when I was in high school, like grade school and high school. I was not comfortable in the heat. I wasn't, if it was like this, with this humidity, nearly 100 degrees outside, I wasn't learning anything.
I'm reverse learning right now.
Yes. I'm brain cells are getting cooked by the heat.
Reverse learning. Good talk.
Reverse learning. Yeah. The public schools. I'll say another. Here's another example. These lawsuits happen frequently in the South because, of course, they don't have any kind of meaningful HVAC for prisons. And in many incarceration facilities, especially in the South, there aren't windows and there is no air movement at all. Oh, and folks that are incarcerated are one of our greatest at-risk populations when it comes to health issues. One of our greatest at-risk populations when it comes to the intersection of health and mental health issues. Oh, yeah, a population that we would worry about getting angry and things popping off.
Yeah, imagine them also being in on lockdown for 23 hours a day because they don't have enough people
to guard
the prisons. So they're on lockdown in not moving air rooms. And then they go back on lockdown because guess what? After all that time, you have a little bit of pent-up aggression
kerfuffles.
And maybe some stuff happens when you get outside.
And it's the guards are working in this environment as well. It is just this problem of laborers and folks that have to be outside or have to work in buildings that do not have air conditioning or people that are in our care and custody, human beings.
Beat officers.
It's just correct. It's getting worse. And at least I'll say this. For the most part, police officers are protected by a union. They can, unions can step in and at least make arguments on behalf of the officers, on behalf of firefighters. Oh, just police and firefighters in the state of Wisconsin, every other public employee, not unionized, but at least they have an advocacy arm. Teachers do as well. However, this has been off the table for years because simply far too expensive to try to retrofit. I don't know how we ask students, teachers, social workers, nurses, administrators to go to work in no air conditioning. Frankly, for every central office of every public school system, if you work in the central office of MPS or the Madison Public School System or Chicago Public Schools or Green Bay Public Schools, wherever it is, if you work in administration and your principal's office or your administrator headquarters building is air conditioned and not every single one of your teachers and students is simultaneously enjoying and learning in an air-conditioned building, I suggest you turn it off. You don't want to turn it off? That's interesting. I have such a problem with this, especially in correctional institutions where people are literally helpless.
And again, this doesn't mean that these people should not be in prison or that we shouldn't, but also we don't torture.
Correct. We are entitled to treat people. We are required legally by the Constitution to treat people fairly and humanely. There are case after case after case has come out of prison systems in the South. Basically being cooked alive in their cells. Do you know how painful it is to die of heat stroke? People having cardiac arrest because there's literally no air movement. Internal body temperatures after being transported to hospitals with air conditioning at levels that would shock you. Literally cooked from the inside out.
Jeez.
So I started on a playful note. Hey, how do you cope with the heat?
Hey, the heat. And then we're melting human beings.
We're here. I still want to hear how you cope with the heat. Brian and I will share a couple of our favorite tactics. But all of this lightheartedness, I think all the time on the show, we try to do it with some purpose. We try to connect it up to what's going on. So on days like today, I feel for the roofers, the road construction workers, people that work on our critical infrastructure, our public school teachers, those that are incarcerated, and those that work in those facilities to keep incarcerated persons safe. It's brutal out there, folks. Take care of yourselves and your family and your loved ones and your neighbors. Check in on people with health conditions because it is a scorcher and the humidity is just brutal. Those two for young people, old people, dogs, cats. Keep a lookout because it's best when we care about each other. A couple of interesting things have happened in the news. So we're gonna talk about those when we get back because there just seems every day to be another enormous group of former Republican administration officials that tell us Donald Trump is unfit and they are coming out to publicly endorse Kamala Harris. We'll talk more about that after these brief messages. We're back in just the blink of an eye, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm gonna keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
Been taking heat my whole life.
Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. That's Fancy Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We kicked off the show today by talking about how gosh darn hot it is outside because that's what Midwesterners do. We complain about the weather. But of course, that has a serious overtone about those folks that are stuck outside or in places that don't have air conditioning. You all were sharing some of your hot takes. I love this one. Jeff from Shoreward, thanks, my buddy. He's like, how do I cope with the heat? I hunker down in my air-conditioned bedroom with a glass of wine and Maggie D. I won't ask what happens next. Jeff, we'll just leave that right there. Thank you for listening and your text. Chris from Janesville listening on WMDX. Chris is lucky enough to have off today, so he's having three beers and some waters, two waters to every one beer. That's a good plan, Chris.
That's a really good plan, and I have to keep reminding myself to do that, even on the cold days.
Yes, one beer, two waters. He's having a couple of beers sitting on and by the pond. Enjoy. Mark from Prairie du Sac mentioned he saw some high school kids outside doing workouts. wow, I think a high school kid around these parts just dropped dead from a tackle. He was a quarterback, high school quarterback. He was playing an early season game. He didn't die because of the heat. He died. He basically had like an aneurysm from just a regular old hit. It wasn't a big hit, just dropped dead. There are plenty of high schools throughout the South and the Midwest and across this country. Football teams, soccer teams, doing two-a-days.
Yeah, I did two-a-days. First thing I thought of was two-a-days, and I was just like,
I can't believe
being so thirsty that you nearly give yourself cramps because you're just inhaling water.
Correct. I did some two-a-days back in the day. But when it was summertime, we'd crack-a-lack those at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and then we wouldn't practice again until about 6 o'clock at night.
Rub some dirt on it, Maggie.
Get back out there. And it used to be the model. Like, coaches used to be real hard-nosed. I'd be like, no, you get a water break when I tell you. What's wrong with you? Why don't you do another lap?
You know what was awesome? I found out that I was asthmatic when I was 35.
So you had all those years of struggle
all those
busing.
Years of thinking that I was out of shape for running a mile every day.
Yeah. I know how it goes. Troy from Mount Horeb, how do you stay cool when it is this toasty out?
Oh, my God. I don't.
I hear that, friend.
I haul cars, so I was about outside for about 2 hours this morning loading, and about an hour I just got done unloading. So my shirt was wet this morning, and the two-hour drive to get down here, it dried off, and now it's wet again.
Well, that's, you know, but God bless the sweat, right? It helps keep you cool. We need it.
So they tell me.
Well, drink lots of water, friend.
I did. I'm also a 16-year prison guard.
No
for the state of Wisconsin.
Kidding. Did your facility have air conditioning?
Most of it, no. I worked at a few institutions. I worked at Waupun. I don't know, and I'm assuming Green Bay is the same way. I don't know how you would air condition those places.
Yeah, unless you build new facilities, it's basically impossible.
Right.
That's the whole rub, right?
Right.
It's not like we can just, they'll put a window unit in there. It'll be fine. No.
Yeah.
Not quite.
300 window units, yeah. I worked at Dodge. There were some places on the new end that was air conditioned. The supervisor's office had a window air conditioner in there. A couple of those.
It's always those supervisors, isn't it?
Yes, it's always the supervisors.
Well, listen,
that's
my brother.
That's why I was a union rep.
There you go. If you can't beat them, join them. That's Troy from Mount Horeb. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling, Troy. You keep it cool. Keep drinking that water, my friend. One small business announcement, and then I want to get into the seeming daily avalanche of former Republican administration officials, high level, all down the ranks, staffers, lawyers. We're going to talk about that. But I wanted to share with you a bit of civic media business because Dan Schaefer of Recombobulation Area fame is joining the civic media team. So cool.
I like that.
I mean, the best name of a Substack or blog that ever was, the Recombobulation Area, an homage to the Milwaukee County General Mitchell International Airport, where we have the now famous or infamous Recombobulation Area in every gate. Love that. He is joining us as political editor. He's going to help us, you know, stay on the straight and narrow. And I'm really excited to share with you all that Dan will be joining me on Thursday. We'll talk about it. Maybe we'll talk a little DNC. Good times all. Congrats, Dan. We're super happy to have you in the
family. He was there at the DNC, and I can tell you there is no other person that I have ever met that has more off the top of his head information on local races in Wisconsin than any other human that I've ever met.
Yeah, Dan is going to be an incredible resource for, I think, a lot of that local politics, not just out of Milwaukee.
No, I'm talking
across
like
the state.
In that district, there's a lot of this. Like he knows at least a little bit of almost about every district because he does his homework. And that's part of what is wonderful about the Recombobulation Area is that every election cycle, you can go there and find exactly the information you need to make an informed decision.
I appreciate Dan, and I've appreciated his work for years. I'm so excited that he's joining the civic media team. Again, congrats. Congrats to Dan. Sue from Franklin saying that she's staying cool inside and writing postcards to encourage people to vote. Sue, you couldn't be a better setup for the overarching theme of the day here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We'll stitch it all together for you. Do not worry. Love that, Sue. And a texter, Dan in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, texting in on WMDX. He said the back of his UPS truck is easily over 100 degrees. He's drinking water by the gallon and using a liquid IV. Great stuff when it gets like this. That is exactly what you have to do to keep yourself hydrated, folks. If you think you've had enough, you probably haven't. However, I will make this note. It is possible to give yourself water poisoning.
Yep.
And just a word to the wise, little PSA here from yours truly and Fancy Brian. If your urine ends up clear, you may have enough hydration in you.
Get yourself a banana every now and then, too,
because your potassium.
Low potassium will kill you, too.
Little potassium, always good. Some electrolytes. Those Gatorades
are good for something. Do a pickle juice shot.
Oh, love that. You know they make the taste of tequila disappear?
Yeah, that's a thing. When I left the bars, they started making actual pickle juice that you would do with shot. Pickle juice and shots of Jameson, I'm told, are the most amazing thing that ever happened.
I won't be trying that soon, my friends. I've got.
I know, later on tonight you will.
I don't know about that. I've finally gotten to a stage in my life where if it don't taste good, I'm not drinking it. Brian disagrees. All right, we're going to get to those former Republican officials leaving in droves, denouncing Trump, saying that they are going to be supporting and voting for Kamala Harris. You don't want to miss this. Coming up next, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
What has happened to us? What has happened to us?
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated. And though I know you can't appreciate it.
I'll do for less complication, more rain right now. Anything to cool it off. I'm Maggie Dawn, y'all. He's Brian Kelly. Welcome back, or welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, coming to you live from downtown Waukesha. Of course, you don't necessarily have to listen on WAUK. You can listen wherever you are in the state, and you can check out what your local Civic Media affiliate is by going to civicmedia.us. You can also grab our app for free wherever you find our app stores. And of course, you can find the Maggie Dawn Show on Instagram, X, and Facebook. You can watch us live on YouTube. Just search for Civic Media. You can see Fancy Brian and I hashing it out every day. Good fun, that. I'm going to take one more caller before we move on. Jean from Eau Claire, how you doing? And are you staying cool today?
Yes, I am. And I'm in air conditioning. And I'm studying what's going on in our country every day. But I wanted to bring something up real important for you as an attorney, plus as what you're going to talk about and what's going on in our country. And I had seen it, and I couldn't believe it, but I couldn't bring it up, you know, during all the things going on with the convention and everything. And there is an interview on the Aspen Institute, and the title is Democracy at a Crossroads, a Conversation with Honorable J. Michael Luttig. The date is August 12th, 24, and he's interviewed by attorney Barbara Quaid. And I strongly recommend that every single person see this interview. I've seen it on YouTube, and I had to play it a couple times because it went through what happened on a phone call to him, his personal reaction, you know, the shock, you know, and you know, the gravity of what was going on in our country at the time. Initially, Mike Pence's reaction, and I strongly recommend everybody see it. I was so moved, I couldn't believe it. And then, you know, I mean, I've always thought this was really bad, what's going on legally, but this makes us even more aware and why we need to take the bull by the horns and get these people that are destroying our country out of there.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more, Jeannie. Jean, sorry. This is former federal judge Michael Luttig. And former Assistant U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid at the Aspen Institute. Interestingly enough, it is not a coincidence that Michael Luttig did this interview when he did it. I'm going to talk about Michael Luttig. He's one of the people today that has come. He didn't do this today. He did this, I think the letter came out like 2 days ago or something like that. Reams of high-level lawyers and judges that have worked in administrations, in the court systems, coming out and saying they're Republicans and they're going to be voting for Harris. But to set this up, you know, I thought it was really interesting, the whole, let's count the sorts of characters that seem to be lining up for Trump these days. You know, people like Corey Lewandowski and Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani and Kimberly Guilfoyle. And, you know, like, these are not what I would call the world's most credible actors, including his vice president. All of this symbolized, of course, by the zero number of former Republican presidents and the zero number of former vice presidents that showed up at the Republican National Convention. None. Not one.
They got Kid Rock, though.
But they got Kid Rock and Dana White and Hulk Hogan, so must be good.
And yeah, that kind of wraps up the whole...
Yeah, the A-list.
Everything.
The A-list of big thinkers, right? And anti-Semitic provocateurs like Nick Fuentes. I mean, like, this is throughout what is now the MAGA party. It is not the grand old party. It's not a Republican party. It's the MAGA party.
Boy, do I wish it wasn't. Boy, I
wish we were having just a normal old election cycle. Sure
I
do.
I told so many people at the DNC, so you guys are left-leaning talk radio, and I go, you know what? If I did my job correctly, I will find a Republican I can vote for. That's success for me and success for this radio station and this whole network. Because what are you guys doing?
Yes, very scary. And, like, the idiocy of this whole thing sometimes comes, like, shining through in moments. And one of them just happened. Rudy Giuliani was interviewed by Mike Lindell, okay, on Mike Lindell's podcast. They'll give anybody a podcast.
Well, the guy's got to make money. He's got to pay that back from, you know, someone proving him wrong.
Yeah, someone proving him wrong. He still hasn't paid the $5 million, by the way.
I wouldn't expect him to ever do so. The guy's never had that much money after he threw it
and
all away to
Donald Trump. Doesn't pay his creditors, so why should anybody else? It's just the way capitalism works. Ooh, weird, huh? Yeah, so the pillow dude and the Grecian formula drippy hair guy out in front of the Four Seasons landscaping joint in the awkward Borat films. Former America's mayor, but not anymore.
What has happened to him?
Right? Like, this is who he got.
What has happened to us? What has happened to us?
I have an idea.
Yeah. This is Rudy Giuliani on the pillow guy. So, Grecian formula guy. Georgia election worker harasser now owes them over $100 million. That guy talking to the pillow dude about the other blog dude, Steve Bannon, who basically looks like he rolled out of bed every day and has said that, yeah, it's fine. It's fine if we end up more of a dictatorship and with a Christian pseudo-nationalist state. Like, that's good. That's Steve Bannon. Grecian formula guy to pillow guy to podcast guy who's in prison because he refused to comply with a congressional subpoena.
Mind you, we've put people in prison for this several times.
Before.
For the same amount of time also.
Yes. This is Rudy Giuliani. This is parallel to me. This is the exact analogy to Rojo complaining at the DNC. It's hard to be a billionaire. I have so much money. It's so hard to keep track of it all. And I have to hire people and spend my money and create institutional-sized wealth for generations?
Maybe if I had actually acquired it myself, I would know how to use it, but I married into it, so...
Right. This is the weird criminal justice analogy of Rojo complaining that it's hard to be a baller. Let's take a listen. This is Grecian formula guy to pillow guy about the podcast guy that's in prison for not complying with a congressional subpoena.
Who unfortunately can't hear this broadcast, which is an outrage. I ran the Bureau of Prisons in two capacities. First, I was absolutely in charge of it as the Associate Attorney General for 2 years under Ronald Reagan. And then I was the Chief of Staff of the guy who was in charge of it under Gerald Ford. I do not remember prisoners of his category not being having access to television for occasional shows, special shows. But every once in a while, a prison would get nasty. I remember having to secure the rights for lifers to see the Pope. Imagine not letting them see the Pope. I mean, that's ridiculous. Steve Bannon, and let me tell you this, Steve Bannon is not being treated the way other prisoners are being treated. His case has been moved from the Bureau of Prisons to crooked Attorney General Garland's office. And they're calling the shots because contacts that I have in the Bureau of Prisons have told me they've been taken out of the case. So he's being, let's say, tortured. And he'll be out. I'm sure he'll be able to talk all about it. But boy, this election is about a fascist regime. And well, Steve Bannon is prime number one victim.
Steve Bannon is to victim. Like Ron Johnson and billionaires are people that we need to feel sorry for. You're not being tortured because you can't watch television. But like, the whole thing is so fundamentally offensive. By the way, that's also a bridge to what we were talking about before, because I guarantee you there will be numerous people that are in incarcerated situations that end up in the hospitals because of this heat wave. Which, of course, relates back to Rojo, because he doesn't care if people die in the South because they're not from the Midwest, and he doesn't care if people die in other places because they're not his constituents. So, oh, I looked at this chart here. There's less Wisconsinites dying, so that's good. More humans dying, but, you know, climate change in Wisconsin. We live longer, so cool. Disgusting.
It's dumb.
I mean, at least Rudy Giuliani got it right that the election is about a fascist regime. Yes, Donald Trump's the dictator for a day. I mean,
that guy took down the mob and he's like, you know what? I think I could try and run a mob, and then didn't do it at all. Like, he's like really bad.
And then you have the other crackpot du jour, RFK. Oh, I didn't end my presidential campaign. I suspended it. Well, maybe I haven't actually endorsed Donald. Whatever his semantic garbage is. I think it's all of RFK's siblings, or nearly all of RFK's siblings. So RFK, again, Bobby Kennedy's son. He's got a bunch of siblings. I think there's seven of them. All or nearly all of them have gone on national news outlets, written letters, and basically said, our brother is a crackpot. He's a disgrace. He's besmirching the legacy of Bobby Kennedy.
And I got to tell you, I have sympathy for the guy, because I bet you he has some unresolved issues from, I don't know, his dad being assassinated. Maybe he needs to go and get those issues resolved before, I don't know, running for office or endorsing anyone.
The interesting thing is that's not at all what his siblings say. And if that were true, you would think all of his siblings would be likewise crackpots and weirdos.
You never know how people are going to go, but I'm just saying, my goodness, that would suck.
What his siblings are saying about him is that this is for personal benefit. That RFK is not doing this out of, that he's actually got some sort of impairment or issues that need therapy. He's doing this for personal enrichment and self-aggrandizement.
Well, there's for hope.
Right? That's what all this nonsense from RFK has been about. I mean, not to mention, even Billy Baldwin was like, this guy's a jerk now. They've been friends for like 30 years. Even, you know, Billy Baldwin.
When you lost Billy Baldwin, know you lost the jerk game.
We've got a little sound. This is Kerry Kennedy, one of RFK's sisters, on the Jen Psaki show. Let's take a listen to that first cut of that, Brian.
And I think if my dad were alive today, the real Robert Kennedy would have detested almost everything Donald Trump represents. His lying, his selfishness, his rage, his cynicism, hatred, racism, fascist sympathies, deliberate misinformation about vaccines, criminal felony convictions. Daddy was the Attorney General of the United States. His rape of E. Jean Carroll, his contempt for the poor and suffering, for ethics, democracy, healing, his cruel sneering at human rights for suffering of people in America and around the world.
We should keep that one handy because it's a really good summary. Thank you.
It's a nice litany.
Thank you, Carrie Kennedy. I think I ran out of fingers. We were trying to count them. And then she says this about her brother.
I'm outraged and disgusted by my brother's gaudy and obscene embrace of Donald Trump. I completely devout and separate and dissociate myself from Robert Kennedy Jr. in this flagrant and inexplicable effort to desecrate and trample and set fire to my father's memory.
I mean, wow.
Seems to be more than just some pent-up rage.
Yeah.
More than just some trauma unresolved. Maybe some... Wow, but, dude.
By the way, Bradley Whitford went in on RFK's wife, Cheryl Hines of Curb Your Enthusiasm fame, just absolutely went in on her. Said this, "Hey, Cheryl, way to stay silent about your lunatic husband who throws his support behind the adjudicated rapist who brags about stripping women of their fundamental rights," Bradley Whitford wrote. "Gutsy, great example for the kids. A profile in courage." Which, of course, is a jab based on the book written by President John F. Kennedy. Yeah, no punches pulled there. Thank you, Bradley Whitford. Or should I say, thank you, Josh Lyman. Did you know it's the 25th anniversary of The West Wing? So good. Listen, I'm going to share a list of the people that are lining up to disavow Donald Trump. It's not just Carrie Kennedy. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions.
Welcome back.
And so much space.
I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a real special guest coming up for you at the top of the hour. One of the elites. You would even say that himself. Our guest is going to be Scott Ellis. He's going to tell us why we have a wealth disorder, an obsession with wealth that has created an economic system that hurts the vast majority of us every single day, whether you believe it or not. Before we get there, we've been talking about the crackpot supporting Trump. Someone on the text line reminded me of the Nuge, Ted Nugent.
Deep political thinker, Ted Nugent.
Yeah. He's a little bit like Jerry Lee Lewis. I think married like a teenage girl. You know, I would encourage everybody to check out their statewide conservative legislators and find out if they support banning child marriage. Because, you know, if you're about family values and all that good stuff, you really should want to ban child marriage.
Well, you see, back in the day.
Yes. All right. I promised you a recap of all the Republicans that have said no more. So 12 former White House lawyers dropped a letter on Monday saying that they endorse Kamala Harris. These are top-level Republican White House lawyers who served in the administrations of then-Presidents Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush. Okay? That's who these people are. It includes, as Gene from Eau Claire pointed out, former Federal Appeals Court Judge Michael Luttig, who's also a prominent right-leaning legal scholar and was a White House legal advisor to the president for Ronald Reagan. Here's what the letter says. "We endorse Kamala Harris and support her election as president because we believe that returning former President Trump to office would threaten American democracy and undermine the rule of law in our country. Donald Trump's own vice president and multiple members of his administration and the White House staff at the most senior levels, as well as former Republican nominees for president and vice president, have already declined to endorse his reelection. They point to the profound risks presented by Trump's potential return to public office." And it goes on. "We cannot go along with other former Republican officials who have condemned Trump with these devastating judgments, but are still not willing to vote for Harris. So they're calling out the Republicans that have basically condemned Trump, like Mike Pence, like Bill Barr, like Nikki Haley. I could go on and on and on, like Ted Cruz, like like his, his running mate.
He may have done all these things, but
Whatever.
I disagree with the policies of the other person a little bit, so let him run the country.
Here's some of the other signatories. John Bellinger. He worked for George W. Bush. Phil Brady, deputy counsel to the president under Reagan. Benedict S. Cohen, Reagan. Peter Keisler, Reagan. Robert Krieger, Reagan. John Mitnick, George W. Alan Charles Rawl, Reagan, and H.W. Nicholas Rostow. I could go on and on. Whole bunch of them. And just yesterday, a four-star general, General Larry Ellis, in writing, endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris. He's never done that before. It is not typical for even retired military personnel, let alone a four-star general. That's the top of the heap, y'all. And yesterday, more than 200 Republican staffers who worked for George W. Bush, Senators Mitt Romney, or John McCain endorsed Harris in a letter obtained Monday by ABC News. The letter calls on moderate Republicans and conservative independents in key swing states who voted for President Biden to vote for Harris in November. And it calls on those moderate Republicans and conservative independents who voted for President Trump in 2016 or 2020 to vote for Harris in November. They say this: of course, we have plenty of honest ideological disagreements with Vice President Harris and Governor Walz. That's to be expected. The alternative, however, is simply untenable. This comes on the heels of last month's more than 40 former DOJ officials also signed a letter condemning Trump and endorsing Harris. I run out of breath when I do these things.
This happens sometimes. There's a lot of people running to endorse Kamala Harris because she's a reasonable person who is competent. It's amazing how that works.
This also includes the list of folks like his first Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis. Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people, does not even pretend to try. Instead, he tries to divide us, end quote. Defense Secretary Mark Esper called him a threat to democracy. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, retired General Mark Milley. We don't take an oath to a wannabe dictator. We take an oath to the Constitution. And we take an oath to the idea that is America, and we are willing to die to protect it. His first Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, quote, Trump's understanding of global events, his understanding of global history, his understanding of U.S. history was really limited. It's really hard to have a conversation with someone who doesn't even understand the basic concepts. His second national security advisor, H.R. McMaster, we saw the absence of leadership. We saw really anti-leadership and what that can do to our country. His third national security advisor, John Bolton. I believe foreign leaders think he's a laughing fool. He is unfit to be president. His second chief of staff, John Kelly. His former acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney. I mean, I could go, I've got more. First Secretary of the Navy, Richard Spencer. The president has very little understanding of what it means to be in the military, to fight ethically, or to be governed by a uniform set of rules and practices. His former Homeland Security advisor, Tom Bossert. Quote, the president undermined American democracy baselessly for months. As a result, he's culpable for the siege and an utter disgrace. So CJ, still voting for Trump? You think RFK and you have it better than, like, his first three national security advisors and a bunch of his joint chiefs and a four-star general? You got it right, do you?
Yeah, because he kept...
Cool. That's all I needed.
There's this thing, there's a commercial out, and it said something, so I feel it. It's cool.
because doesn't, it's just the idea that all of these people who saw him in action directly, who are Republicans, who are conservatives, who have worked in government for decades, all of them, especially those that advised him on military matters or themselves were in the military, have said he's unfit. Not quite enough.